The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
John Delaney's predecessor as boss of the FAI, Fran Rooney, will be with us in just a little while. Eamon Dunphy will be joining us as well. And Stuart Gilhooley, a solicitor who has been involved with the League of Ireland for some time, with the players in the League of Ireland. But I want to start in studio with two journalists just to bring us up to date on everything that has happened in recent weeks and also the reign of John Delaney as chief executive of the FAI. And I suppose we should have a hat tip to Mark Tighe of the Sunday Times, who has broken all of the relevant stories in relation to this. And Sinead O'Carroll, news editor of the journal.ie, just briefly take us through what we've learned in the last few weeks, starting with this mysterious loan.
Yeah, and again, just another shout out to Mark Tighe. And I think when we talk about why journalism matters, this is one of the things that really shines a light. And even if you're not a football fan and you have no care in the world about football, this is money that you should care about, where it's going, how it's spent, and how the people who are involved in football are being governed. And all of this plays into how we talk about John Delaney and the money. So the €100,000 that Mark Tighe reported about on the Sunday Times, it was a payment from John Delaney to the FAI. Mark Tighe had found out about it, was reporting it. John Delaney and his lawyers wanted an injunction against that being reported. So they did not want the information about that.
Which had a bit of the Streisand effect, because the minute you go seek an injunction and don't get it, suddenly everybody wants to know. And a story that might have been at the bottom of page one or an inside page is suddenly the lead for the Sunday Times.
Yeah, particularly when you're talking about getting an injunction on Saturday, when you're printing the Sunday Times on Saturday evening at about 11, half 11, and you're talking about a Saturday evening court hearing. So once there was initially a social media ban put on it, once obviously that Mark Tighe got that there was no injunction, he was allowed to tweet about it. Obviously, all of our intrigue is then, let's go get the Sunday Times tomorrow.
And then also, why would the chief executive give a €100,000 loan as bridging finance to an organisation with an annual turnover of €50 million? Why could that possibly be?
Yeah, well, that's, I think Leo Varadkar, our Taoiseach, has also said that. And he said outside government buildings last week, you know, he would have thought that if that was necessary, that there would be banking facilities to do so. And if you look at the 2017 figures, you know, there was a retained surplus of 2.8 million. Within the FAI, if you look at their reported accounts for that year. So,
very curious, but I suppose we had to be careful because it was his own lawyers who made mention of a family law case as well that had may have had some implication on his seeking the injunction.
Yeah, so he had said that there was in camera, obviously family law is protected and, you know, we can't report various ins and outs of them. He thought some of the details in this had come, could only have come from there. They had said that there was a Venn diagram drawn and this was the only place it could have come from.
But Sunday Times
very
yesterday,
much disputed by the other parties in those.
Yeah, his ex-wife and her lawyer both were quoted in the Sunday Times. A lawyer was saying that they weren't responsible for that information.
Yeah, and that it, and also the judge ruled that even if there are documents that are in camera in proceedings, that that doesn't obviously give them complete protection from ever being disclosed if any party wants to do so.
Now, Kieran Cunningham, we had an extraordinary succession of press releases by the FAI during last week, but it became utterly bizarre during the game with Gibraltar on Saturday evening, when some of us spent as much time watching Twitter, when was the latest FAI statement coming? Because the rumours were swirling around about a possible departure from the job of John Delaney. But instead, we had a curious arrangement being announced. For those who aren't familiar with it, tell us.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a very curious arrangement in that effectively you've twin track CEOs now. That
you have an executive vice president.
Executive vice,
role.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a very interesting title, because you have to be an executive on your National Football Association to be able to be hold a seat in the UEFA Executive Committee, which John Delaney has and which earns him €160,000 a year. So if he'd...
Another story which was revealed,
which
I think,
donated
by Mark Tighe.
Yeah.
But he said he would donate the 2018 payment once it had become known to them.
Yeah, but there's no mention now of the 2019 salary because, you know, there's talk now because he's taken this new position of executive vice president and you're going to have, which effectively is looking after the glamorous side of the job, like it's looking after
Euro 2020 qualifying
matches. Euro 2020 potential bids for World Cup or the Women's Champions League final, dealing with international organisations. And the bread and butter stuff is going to be left to a new CEO. Raya Walsh is in there at the moment as in an interim capacity. But Mark Tighe had another brilliant story yesterday, and I think this is the story that could cause John Delaney most damage, and that during a period when many employees in the FAI either took substantial wage cuts or lost their jobs. The FAI were paying €3,000 a month for rental of the house he was living in Wicklow. So that's €36,000 a year at a time when he was earning €360,000 a year.
Which, in fairness, was a reduction from the previous €400,000, since he did take a 10% pay cut in solidarity with his fellow employees.
But if you add €360,000 plus €36,000, Matt.
But apparently this rent has been paid for about 10 years.
Yeah, but this isn't unusual when, if you like, multinationals do this, but it's very unusual for sporting...
The FAI isn't a multinational.
No, but that's what I mean.
With a relocating boss. I mean, yeah, he lives in Ireland.
Absolutely.
He's Irish.
It's really unusual for a sporting body. And even now, there's talk now he's taken a substantial wage cut for this new job. And the talk now, he's gone down to €120,000 a year. But €120,000 is roughly what John Tracy has paid as CEO of Sport Ireland, who oversees 73 national governing bodies. Plus, he's got the €160,000 from UEFA still, so he's €280,000 a year. And a lot of people within the FAI have had really hard times, and a lot of Irish soccer fans as well. And they think this makes no sense.
And Sinead, we will go back to the history of John Delaney in the job in just a little while. But if we're in this situation now, the board deciding to not actually advertise the job of executive vice president, unanimously decide last Friday, in the face of all these allegations, to do it, does that suggest that he has an extraordinary control, or that there's a great love and affection for John Delaney amongst the other members of the FAI board?
Well, I think it's no secret that he has extraordinary control over what happens in the FAI and what happens to the FAI. This position, the statement they put out was that it has come from a strategic review, as if, you know, actually everything is there are no questions answered because we did a strategic review and this is what we have come up with, and there was independent people involved, and we decided the CEO should be the new executive vice president, and then they should then support the CEO should support them in their duties, these international duties that seem to be quite cherry picked from what the CEO of the FAI does.
And very quickly, I just want to go through a list of things before I bring Eamon Dunphy in, and a quick comment. I mean, there's a list of controversies he's been involved in over the years, Kieran. Brian Kerr had been sacked as manager. A lot of people felt that was desperately unfair, particularly when he was replaced by a neophyte in Steve Staunton with no managerial experience. And that didn't work out well. The pricing of tickets for the Vantage Club, over 10-year tickets between $12,000 and $34,000. They're now on sale again at $5,000. You had major controversy with women's football. I think it would be fair to say, wasn't it, Sinead, that you had players complaining about having to change in the toilets.
Yeah, and greater than that, there was a complete feeling of disrespect, and Stuart probably will talk about that later. And I think it was less of the individual aspects of that obviously we heard a lot about the tracksuits and all of that. It was just a general feeling of being completely disrespected by the organisation. Now, in fairness, they have changed a lot of that. I think the last 18 months have been probably the best 18 months in terms of the respect that the FAI have shown to the women's game. So in some ways they have learned from that. So you do have to kind of take the good as well.
You also had controversy about drinking nights out with Poland in the European Championships in 2012, been videoed singing Wolf Tone's Rebel songs in 2014 after a game at the United States. And you also had the embarrassment of looking to be the 33rd team in the 2010 World Cup.
And taking $5 million from Sepp Blatter
but
to just go away and be
that
quiet.
That was a strike of genius on his part.
That's a stroke.
Yeah.
Stroke of genius. Eamon Dunphy, good evening to you. There's a pretty lengthy charge sheet, but there are football people around the country who will say that John Delaney has done a good job for the promotion of football, particularly in rural Ireland. And how many people are likely to come out and defend him?
Well, it's not an easy position to take to defend John Delaney, particularly in the light of the latest controversy. But he has done a lot for grassroots football. The facilities are brilliant in some clubs, including my own former club, Stadamaras, which is in Richmond Road in Drumcondra. I think he has paid a lot of attention. He's cultivated the grassroots. It's his power base, really. And he has... it has not all been bad. But the one thing that's clear, even from the weekend's developments, is that he has too much power. I mean, how has he all of a sudden become the executive vice president, and why? We don't know anything about the process that led him to that position, but what we do know is if he wants to keep his job with UEFA, he has to be an executive of the FAI So it looks to me as if that job was tailored not for the FAI's needs, but for John Delaney's needs to stay within the FIFA tent and also to be paid by FIFA and to be a representative for Ireland with FIFA.
But does this suggest he's a brilliant political operator, that he's able to do the strokes? Like, he goes and suffers the embarrassment of Seth Blatter laughing at him over the 33rd team, but he gets $5 million for the FAI. Yep. He steps aside from the role of chief executive, but in a move that I think, Kieran, you described on Twitter a bit like Putin and Medvedev in Russia, he manages to parachute himself into another job where he manages to retain the bulk of the benefits and nearly all of the power.
Yeah, there are things that should have been looked at earlier, and I was one of the people who didn't look, to be honest, and I was wrong not to. The Vantage tickets, that whole pricing of that sort of the tickets for the Aviva, I was more excited by the idea of the Aviva, by the idea of Irish soccer having a home, than I was about the fact that probably nobody who followed the game week in, week out could afford any of those tickets. It became a very corporate place, the Aviva.
Eamon, can I ask you a genuine question? Just when you're talking about the good work that John Delaney has done, and I think that's the one thing that very few people can dispute, that people on the grassroots level say that their facilities and their clubhouses and everything else that happens have been helped in at various different times over the years. But to what end? Like, what I'm confused about the FAI is, like, what's the purpose? What are they hoping for? And what was John Delaney hoping for? Because you don't see it in the League of Ireland. You don't see it fulfilling anything in the National League. So what's the purpose of what's happening on the grassroots?
Well, I think he was a politician, Sinead. You know, that's what he is. He's an administrator.
But, you know, Michael Healy-Rae is never going to become Taoiseach. He's a brilliant politician, but he's never Taoiseach.
No, but the job of, you know, being CEO of the FAI is a job where you need a base in the game.
So that's what I mean. Is that the only reason that he was getting goalposts for clubs down in Limerick?
Well, I was with him on a couple of occasions when he was on meeting people, opening facilities, and they were very, very impressive. And I know, for example, John Giles is with him quite a lot. John has his own foundation, and they do an awful lot of good work around the country. There's no, that's not an excuse for what's been wrong. It's just to give you a fuller picture, if you like.
I think it's also, it is important, Eamon, to point out, though, a lot of these grants at grassroots level don't actually come from the FAI. They come from the Department of Sport through the Sports Capital Grant Scheme and Sport Ireland. But I think John Delaney has been given credit by a lot of the grassroots as if it was his call. A lot of them weren't his call.
And that's like a politician again. Yeah. Actually, just Eamon Dunphy from The Stand, stay with us, please. The Stand is Eamon's podcast. But I want to bring in Stuart Gilhooly, a solicitor who you've met many times on this programme talking about personal injuries and issues like that. But he's also a solicitor for the Players Football Association of Ireland. Because, Stuart, one of the big complaints I think that has been made is that the money that John Delaney gets, things like the extra payment from UEFA, which was only disclosed a few weeks ago, is bigger than the prize money for winning the National League.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Matt. That's exactly, I think, Sinead was touching on earlier as to what exactly, you know, was all the work for. So the prize money in 2007 was 225,000. It's now 110,000. I mean, how does that make any sense? 40 years later, it's half of what it was. And I think that's just an example of what the FAI currently, and unfortunately John thinks of the League of Ireland. I mean, he's famously described as the problem child. I think we've all heard that phrase many times. And I think that sums up how he feels about it. And that is where the change needs to come. That's why there needs to be a new broom in there. There needs to be new blood in there. Someone is going to take this on and say, look, hang on, the League of Ireland should not be our problem child. It should be our salvation. That is where we are going to make all the changes. If the League of Ireland becomes a league in which we can persuade our young players to stay and play in week in, week out, and, you know, if they're good enough, they'll get the move to the Premier League or the Championship. But their main focus should be to play for Shamrock Rovers or Dundalk or Cork or all the top sides of the League of Ireland and stay here, do their leaving certs, And then if things work out for them, great. If they don't, they have something to fall back on. But also, we'll have, be able to create then a much stronger league, which in itself then will obviously get greater audiences and people coming to matches. And, you know, suddenly we could be at the same level. We'll never be a Premier League or anything like that. We could be at the same level as the Scottish Premier League or some of the other small leagues around the world where we actually are able to bring players who play in our league into our international team.
We don't have Fran Rooney with us yet. He was leaving a meeting to join us, and hopefully he will be able to do so. But we're continuing our discussion with Sinead O'Carroll, Stuart Gilhooly, Kieran Cunningham and Eamon Dunphy. Kieran Cunningham, I suppose once so that, how did it happen that John Delaney has become the best known chief executive of a sporting organisation in the country?
In the world, I think. He's the only... Well, it's an era where you have celebrity gardeners and celebrity hairdressers, so why not have a celebrity sports administrator?
But, Such a sexy title when you put it like that.
But I think Malachy Clarkin actually wrote a very good column on this today in the Irish Times about, like, why do we know so much about him? Why do we hear so much about him? Like, I was actually thinking about this yesterday because I was going through some old interviews I did with John back in the time when he used to do interviews. And he had quotes like, everywhere I go, people ask me for autographs and for selfies and I get a stand ovation at all the clubs I go to. And I was thinking, why would anybody ask a sports administrator for an autograph? And why would a sports administrator think that's a good thing? Like the last, like most people would have no clue what the head, the director general of the GA, Tom Ryan, looks like. Most people have never heard Philip Brown of the IRVU talk. There's no chance that the either of them would ever appear on the front of the Sunday Independent Life magazine posing with models and Barry Egan and the celebrity solicitors, etc., for a Christmas issue. If they were asked to do a documentary about their life for the Sunday Independent, they would all say no. So why has John Delaney done this? But it's part of, I think part of it, he's turned the FAI into Delaney land.
Yeah.
And that's very important. A lot of people within Irish soccer think it can't survive without John Delaney now. Of course it can.
Eamon Dunphy, can you explain, because you know John Delaney probably better than anyone else here, why he embraced that celebrity culture?
I think he is an extrovert by nature. I mean, look at the sing songs he's been involved in pubs all around Europe, Poland notably.
When he lost his shoes as he was crowd surfing.
That would never happen to you, Eamon.
Well, it could have been.
You always kept your shoes on, in fairness.
But I think he's an extrovert, and I think in his own mind, he doesn't mind a bit of publicity, let's put it that way. But also, I think he was would regard himself as selling the game. Now, I think it's worth bearing in mind, Dennis O'Brien got involved in Irish soccer around 2008, and he funded the acquisition of managers and coaches.
Yeah, Giovanni Trapattoni first, and then after that, Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. He footed the bill.
And large bills.
And Marco Tardelli as well. Yeah.
And Liam Brady came in that package. Now, that's the kind of... My eye was on that ball, and I was prepared to give him a bit of slack, cut him some slack for other stuff. But
I don't think necessarily being an extrovert or those sing songs are a bad thing if they're going hand in hand with, just because Tom Ryan and Philip Brown aren't like that doesn't necessarily, that's not the trait that makes them better. What makes them better is that they are building a product and they are selling a product. Like, we know what the IRFU have done in the last 10 years. We know that the product they are building, they have natural advantages on building that product over probably the FAI, but we know what they're about, we know what they're doing, and with the FAI I generally don't know what they're doing.
Like, can I just make one point about that? And it's the comparison with other leaders of the IRFU and the GAA in particular, they're very valid, and here's the difference. There's no way any chief executive of the GAA could behave as recklessly and in such a power-hungry way as John Delaney, because they have to answer to the county boards. They have a vibrant democratic organisation. Soccer doesn't have that. All of the clubs in the League of Ireland, for example, nearly all of them, at one stage or another, have been bankrupt, filed for bankruptcy, fighting with each other. They're very badly run. We don't have that strong infrastructure that would have made Delaney or anyone else in his position accountable. That's a real problem. And that is not going to change overnight.
OK, Stuart Gilhooly, is there anything that football can learn from rugby in the sense that we actually have created a professional game of rugby in the last two decades here in Ireland? We now have four professional teams competing at an international level. the best Irish players are kept in this country rather than being exported to other leagues. Is there anything that could be learned from that, or is just the comparison just not valid?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's something I know that Niall Quinn is looking at. Niall, as you know, is embarking on a programme, I think, to try and revitalise the League of Ireland. And one of the things he's looking at is the rugby school system and how, you know, the effectively players come up through that and how then they obviously end up in a centralised situation in the provinces. Is that possible with soccer? I suppose it's more difficult in the sense that, you know, with rugby schools, there's an obvious place that people will go to for you go to your Black Rock or Michaels or St Mary's, whatever, if you want to play rugby. It's not so obvious with soccer, but it doesn't mean that you can't do it. It doesn't mean that you can't create soccer schools, as it were, where, you know, aspiring young players can go, and that is where all the aspiring players go, and then you create kind of a, you know, an elite in that sort of an area. I think that's something that Niall is looking at. Whether it's achievable, I don't know, but certainly there's no doubt that the grassroots structure in Ireland is being improved. We now have the under 13, under 15, under 17 leagues in the League of Ireland where, you know, your elite players are going. Now, why they're done in 2-year structures is beyond me. They should be from under 13 all the way up, because we have this ridiculous situation where you've guys who are playing under 13 and then having to go back to other clubs in under 14 and then go back to the other ones in under 15, which really isn't satisfactory. But there is at least a process there, and we are seeing improvements, and I think credit needs to be given to the FAI and to John for doing that. And I think also, just in general terms, I think it's only fair to say that John Delaney has brought some good things to the game in Ireland. He has, particularly from a European point of view, in UEFA, he has a lot of influence there. He is very well got there. But I think where he has fallen down and where there has to be improvements is in respect of the League of Ireland, the game that is played in the league. But I think whoever comes in, and they can't have John Delaney looking over their shoulders, just not going to work. Whoever comes in has to prioritise
that. Yeah, that brings me to the corporate governance. Unfortunately, we don't have Fran Rooney, who I know wanted to come on and talk to us about corporate governance, because is there a long enough period where anyone can be in charge of any organisation that you can't run an organisation? How many years now is it that effectively he's been in control of the FAI?
15, it'll be 15 this year. Yeah.
Okay, Stuart.
He's about 15 years at this stage. So, I mean, I think there's been a lot of talk about this over the weekend and whether it's appropriate for someone to be in charge for that long. And I think most corporate governance structures now will have people in it for a much shorter period of time. I think it was Niamh Brennan who spoke about it and said that, you know, once you kind of even hit 9 years, you're way past your sell-by date.
And it's not just him, it's the entire board. Like the entire board is there for like over 11 years. Like 7 of the men who are there for over 11 years. So if you're talking about the kind of structural changes that we're talking about here, making the League of Ireland something that young players can aspire to, because if the grassroots is as good as everyone keeps saying that John Delaney and the FAI have made it, well then those kids need somewhere to go to, and that's part of, like, there's obviously a huge football, we're a huge football nation, more so than most other sports. So
Stuart, actually, this listener says, and I just want to check with you if this is correct, that the League of Ireland clubs have 22 votes in the council out of 60. The junior football actually has the power, and that's what Delaney has cultivated.
Think that probably is correct, and I think that is one of the things, I think, as Eamon touched on earlier, he was saying, you know, that is how he has operated to a large degree, is he has got a lot of power, particularly a lot of support in the grassroots, and you've seen a number of people coming out to support him today, and because I think they've always got on very well with him. And he's a very charismatic guy, John Delaney. So, you know, he does make friends easily. So I'm not surprised that he's done it that way. He's done it very cleverly, to be fair to him. I wouldn't criticise him in that sense. But I think there comes a time when you just have to say, you know, John, you've been really good. You've done a lot of good things, and we'd like to keep you involved. But we need someone new in here, and we can't have you correcting their homework.
Eamon Dunphy from The Stand. What about that criticism of John Delaney, that even at a time when Ireland qualified for the 2016 European Championships, had the managerial dream team of Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane, he wasn't able to develop revenues in the way that the GAA and the IRFU have?
Well, I think the GAA and the IRFU are very different organisations to the FAI. I mean, they are very strong domestically, for example, and that's a key. The League of Ireland is a very weak league, Matt, and it always has been. It has no real tradition or history of excellence or indeed yielding revenues or anything of that nature. So no matter how successful the international team would be, the League of Ireland itself, I know Delaney described it as a problem child. It is a problem child, and it always has been. So you're not comparing like with like. Rugby is very well run here. The strength of it is from half a dozen schools, and also the administrative capacity of people who are in it, running it. The GAA is one of the eighth wonder of the world in terms of the community, in terms of the strength of the county boards and the accountability that's in it. So soccer has a long way to go to catch up with those sports, and it won't catch up. We can't imitate. What it has to do is use the strengths that it has got, which is the popularity of the game overall countrywide.
Okay, listener says, why are all your contributors speaking as if the League of Ireland is grassroots? Well, it is a professional game. Yes, the real grassroots is dying a death. No one owns a pitch or dressing rooms. It's third world. I know I've been involved with three different clubs. And then another one, which is very interesting. Look at Dublin GAA. Since the start of the 2000s, the GAA has taken over the city working class areas. And Stuart Kilhooley, I think it is a case that whatever about improvements to soccer facilities around the country, in Dublin, I keep hearing stories about how kids are now looking to Gaelic games and rugby, and that soccer is starting to struggle.
Yeah, you know, there certainly is a problem with facilities in Dublin. I don't have any doubt about that. But I suppose you can't manufacture facilities out of nowhere, to be fair. I mean, you know, in Dublin it's increasingly built up, so there's a lot less green areas than there used to be. I suppose down the country you're probably more likely to have, you know, larger
Stuart,
green areas.
Just to stop you there, yeah. I'm a bit confused because everyone keeps saying over the last 2 weeks or how much John Delaney has done for the grassroots facilities, but now people on the other hand are saying that the grassroots is in a dire strait. I genuinely, as someone who is not a member of a football club in Ireland, like, I'm genuinely confused. Are you only getting facilities if John Delaney has got a phone call from a TD or a mate or what?
I'm not sure that's entirely true, but certainly I think it might help. I think that my impression is that there'd be outside of Dublin, there will be probably a bit more help given than maybe inside Dublin. I mean, Dublin, I think, necessarily struggles, as I said, from an actual lack of green space. That's a problem. But, I mean, he has helped. He has not he personally, but the FAI have, through him, have given a lot of donations towards grassroots facilities. And they have, I think it's probably unfair to say that there are clubs all over the country or all over the city where they can, you know,
okay.
No facilities.
Listen, Fran Rooney has actually joined us, so I want to get a couple of minutes with him. Fran, in your time as chief executive, were you earning 360,000 or 400,000 a year? Did you get the rent paid in your house?
Well, first of all, I didn't earn 350 or 400,000, and I certainly hadn't got the rent paid in my house. No.
Are you jealous now that you see that you could have had if you'd played your cards a bit better?
Well, I don't think that there wasn't such a practice at the time, and I don't think there should ever have been. It seems to be appalling that on salaries of that nature, that that sort of a perk in a sporting organisation.
Well, it is actually, we have to remember, it is a sporting organisation, but we expect it to be run along commercial lines. I believe your issue is corporate governance. Is it for the length of time? Because how long were you in the job before you were replaced?
16 months, just March, yeah.
And John Delaney is approaching 16 years.
Yeah.
What do you think should be done now? Is it just a question of John Delaney, or does the whole board or council of the FAI need to go?
I think so. Practically the entire board have been there for 16 or 17 years. There's been very few replacements. It's basically what has happened is that, you know, there was a very interesting thing at one stage after the Genesis report. When I came in, we had a board of 23 people who seemed totally unworkable. And replacing it with a board of 10 people seemed very sensible. But the 10 people were able to coalesce very much easier than a board of 23. Because in a board of 23, there were a lot of dissenters. So therefore, you had a lot more democracy because people would question small matters like expenses and all of that. But with the board of 10, there seems to be very little.
Okay. Fran, the line isn't great, so I'm going to let you go. Thanks for ringing in, Fran. I just want to very briefly go to Eamon Dunphy because we do have a match tomorrow night against Georgia. And I was just saying to Kieran during the break here and to Sinead, If Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane had been responsible for that performance against Gibraltar the other night, the 1-0 victory, there would have been hell to pay. Should we be hopeful of something better against Georgia tomorrow night?
Well, it's going to take McCarthy a while. The conditions on Saturday were dreadful. I don't think the game is playable, actually, in that gale force wind. But they have a big job of work to do tomorrow night. And let's hope none of this stuff spills out and affects the players or Mick McCarthy. They have a big job to do. It's a very important game tomorrow night. They obviously will need to play a lot better than they played at the weekend, but the conditions should be conducive to that. This is no reflection on Mick or the players, and it should be left outside of the stadium. I would hate to see protests in the stadium.
Eamon Dunphy of The Stand podcast, thank you. And Stuart Gilhooly, Kieran Cunningham of the Irish Daily Star, and Sinead O'Carroll from thejournal.ie, thank you as well. Will you be bringing your tennis balls tomorrow night? Because remember, and this is another thing, you couldn't bring a banner in to Lansdowne Road or even a foreign match protesting against John Delaney.
Well, I guarantee the stewards will be instructed to make sure nobody is bringing in tennis balls.
And I do disagree, Eamon, with you, sorry, but I do think it is a place to signal dissatisfaction, because the game is ours, and if you're not happy with how it's being run, the national team is one place where you can tell yourself that's not why. And I think it's a cop-out to say that the League of Ireland is a problem child and will always be, because there should be bigger thinking than that. We should absolutely want more for ourselves.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.